Welcome to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. By now, you probably heard the news of Tiger Woods' one car crash yesterday morning. Wow, this is really scary.
It felt like, I think for a lot of people, it felt like deja vu when they saw the headline. Because we've seen Tiger Woods with a car crash before, back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That was also a single car, hit a tree near his house. And then all of the stories came out after that as to what really caused that accident. And then he had a traffic stop and was taken in after found asleep at the wheel back in May of 2017. Mm-hmm. So it was another Tiger Woods auto incident. This one clearly the most significant and serious of them all, where he has, you know, it's kind of interesting, multiple fractures that he's dealing with, a shattered ankle, a what's called a comminuted or comminuted, I don't know. But that's the type of fracture that he has. There's a simple fracture, there's a an open fracture, and then there's a comminuted fracture, which is where it's like breaking in multiple places.
Oh, no. This is really bad. You know, I took a deep dive into this on TMZ because they've got a lot of footage. They have the surveillance video, the first video that shows Tiger just moments or minutes, I should say, before he crashed. So it shows him right around 7:05 local time there in California. You can see him in the slow lane behind a minivan. And so that was at 7:05. The call for his accident took place around 7:12. And what seems to be the case is that this road is a long stretch of curvy, curvy road going all downhill. The situation seems to be, from what TMZ has put together, was that he was an hour away from where he had to be, and he was supposed to be there at 7:30. So he was supposed to, I think, give Drew Brees lessons.
Just the day before, he had given Dwayne Wade lessons. This was part of a series that he was putting together where he's helping these celebrities.
So it looked like he was running late and was super agitated. So he got out of his hotel and got into his car, but he was blocked by a vehicle that was unloading luggage. He seemed super agitated and impatient, according to witnesses. There was the director of the show Grown-ish, the TV show Grown-ish.
Right.
That was filming in that hotel. And he went inside and, you know, told people, Tiger Woods nearly hit me on his way out because he took off really quickly. So it seems to me he was just in a big hurry, according to what, you know, they have put together as far as a timeline goes.
They also said there were no skid marks, that the first sign of the vehicle slowing down was when it hit a center divide. And then even after that, I wonder if there was such impact there that he wasn't braking as the car was cutting across a couple of lanes and then evidently rolled over multiple times. Now, the early reports were that Tiger Woods had injuries to both of his legs. The most detailed report that we got from the medical team at this point is that they treated his lower right leg for this shattered ankle and this comminuted or comminuted fracture in his leg. I think like the shin bone, for layman's terms. The tibia, I think is what that is.
Okay.
But the initial reports had said both legs. And so, you know, TMZ is wondering as well, was that a false report at the beginning? Is there nothing wrong with his other leg? Or is that in a surgery to come later? You know, were they only able to do so much surgery at one point? Yeah.
I hear he's got rods in his legs and pins and all sorts of things.
And this is, you know, he just had a back surgery not long ago. Just spoke on Sunday with golf commentator Jim Nantz about the likelihood of him being able to play in the Masters in April. And he had cast doubt on that. Obviously, that is out of the question. And so, too, the rest of this entire season. And the question remains, will he from a sports perspective, it's will he be able to play again? From Tiger's perspective, I'm sure, because he has spoken about this before when he's gone through back surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to be able to play with his kids.
Right.
You know,
well,
and
that I'm sure he'll be able to do. But as far as his career, I can't imagine that he's, what is he, 45?
45.
So it's going to take him a couple of years to probably fully recover from this, or at least a year.
Yeah, you know, I also heard something that was mentioning some muscular stuff as well that mm-hmm. happened, which would, because if it's a bone break, here now, a guy who's never had a bone broken, talking about how you recover from a bone break, but bones heal differently than a soft tissue injury. And so if there's a soft tissue injury on top of that, like let's say hypothetically an ACL injury or something like that, if you're in a situation like that, that compounds the recovery time, where I wonder, and it'd be great to have a doctor, if recovering from bone fractures, broken bones, once you go through the cast process and all of that, do you have a faster path to recovery? Well, but his ankle shattered.
I have someone who worked as a physical therapist and has some information on that type of fracture.
Oh, sure. Let's
great. We would, yeah, love information.
Her name is Sandra. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Okay, so first of all, are we saying it correctly? Comminuted fracture?
Yes, you are. Yeah,
okay.
You are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what does and this mean? What does recovery look like?
Well, recovery can be harder because the bone is broken in more places. And I was just calling to tell you a bit of stupid trivia. When I was in physical therapy school, we called a comminuted fracture a Napoleon blown apart.
Whoa.
Because the bone is fractured in so many different places.
Oh,
so,
God.
Because of the lack of, I don't know his situation, obviously,
right.
But it's not just a simple break. There's not just one area. It's usually two or more areas that are fractured. So because of that, it's going to be a harder recovery.
Mm.
Oh, gosh. And that, by the way, Sandra, is on top of the shattered ankle that he has. And so that just compounds
right.
his recovery time.
Yeah. And like you were talking about soft tissue, you know, it's piled on top of each other, and so it's going to be a harder recovery. Although, you know, he probably has access to the best rehab people in the world.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, good point. Well, good point.
How long does it take to recover from something like this?
Oh, wow. I'm guessing there might be more injuries like you guys were talking about that they haven't gotten to yet.
Mm. Right.
But 3 to 6 months, maybe. It really depends.
How
I mean, not seeing his x-rays and his soft tissue. All I called in to tell you was the Napoleon Bonaparte.
Well, listen, and you taught us something. And we found out that
and
we're saying comminuted, right?
I should have given a fake name if you're going to make me diagnose him.
Well, Sandra,
okay.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for that bit of perspective. We appreciate that. Thank you for listening
okay,
this
thanks.
Morning.
Thank you, Dr.
Thanks,
Sandra.
Bye.
Thank you, Dr.
Bye.
Sandra. We love you, too. By the way, yes, the doctor did say, I know we got to go to break, but Dr. Mahajan... said trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling.
Oh, my God, this is bad.
So,
this is his 10th surgery. This guy has been put under anesthesia so many times.
I was talking to Grant about this yesterday, texting, and he was like, I'm like, God, he's just been through so much.
Yeah.
And
know?
There are more surgeries that await him. In this process, they alluded to that as well. So, anyway.
wishing speedy recovery for Tiger Woods.
No,
it could have been worse, you know.
Yes.
We're happy that it's not life threatening.
Yes,
to be sure. So, if anything develops on that, we'll be sure to bring that to you this morning. I'm not going to reveal the Facebook question until we come back from break.
Okay.
Because I don't want to upset you, Donna. But I intentionally sent it to Hannah by myself. Don't go to our you listeners. Please go to the Facebook page. Okay. I will reveal it to Donna. We'll see how mad she gets at me that when we come back on Donna and Steve. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Steve, when did you get here?
I've been here the whole time. Hey, I want to talk with you about my underwear again, if I may.
Oh, God.
All right, listen, you know that I love my Chill Boys. They are bamboo boxer briefs, but here is what's happening. I've loved them from the first time that I put them on my legs, instantly felt the difference, so cool and so comfortable. So now, anytime that I have to put on some stupid underwear that aren't Chill Boys, I feel like an idiot.
You should. You should. They are a local company offering great men's underwear. But can I point out, Steve, that ladies, if you're tired of thongs making you feel like you've got a constant wedgie, might I suggest you get yourself a pair of soft bamboo boxers from Chill Boys?
I've always said that I would never wear a thong, but I'll tell you this. If my buddies at Chill Boys made a thong, I'd try it on. I'm just saying, I would try it on. Hey, if you want more information, you can go to chillboys.com.
Chill Boys, comfort where it counts. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Steve has a Facebook question for everybody today. Do you want to tell me now or after I hit this button?
I want to tell you now.
All right.
And I want... I'm nervous, first of all.
What am I going to do? What's the worst that can happen?
Could be one of our daily calls right after the show. Listen up, Patterson. Here's what I didn't like.
Oh, come on. Right.
Now, I have really flopped with a couple of Facebook questions recently. I've put through a couple that got technically zero responses to the point where I thought Facebook may have been down. It wasn't. It was fully functioning. People were just answering other better questions. So... I have gone to low-hanging fruit. Here, I will tell you the question, and then I will tell you what we will learn from it.
You're just going for numbers, aren't you? Instead of
well,
substance.
Well, listen. Yes, and pretty much yes, but a little bit no.
Okay.
The question today for you on Facebook is, what did you have for dinner last night? Now, I sent this only to Hannah because I knew that Donna would shut this down, but... What is going to be joyful about this and life-giving to the listener is we will peel back the curious curtains of our fellow listeners, our friends, our My Talk family, and figure out what's a Tuesday night at their house look like. Are they doing mac and cheese? Are they doing cup of noodle? Or did they do filet mignon? Did somebody do lobster last night? We will find out together, and it will really, I think, paint a beautiful mosaic of who we are collectively on Tuesdays.
Okay.
It already has 46 comments.
All right. Yeah. That you can Donna. Ask somebody, what's the color of your eyes? Of course you're going to get people who respond.
We have so many that said green. Can you believe that? Boy, I'll write that. I'll send that to Hannah now. So anyway, when I sent that question to Hannah, by the way, Millennial Hannah, Steve, why is this so dumb? And I just said, look, Donna's not on this. And please, please just trust me. Please just put it up as I'm saying, because I really felt some blowback ahead of time coming from Hannah as well, saying this is stupid.
So, Hannah's not one to hold back.
She is not. And that's what we love about
She's
her.
She's actually blocked us before.
Yeah, we've been blocked by her. So anyway, go to our Facebook page. I'd love to set an all-time record for responses.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Things that make you go...
We were talking about Tiger Woods and, of course, the surgeries that he's had to go through so far after his single car rollover crash yesterday in California. Then I come across this. The reason that doctors wear blue or green scrubs is why? Any ideas? Any guesses?
Because they're the color of veins.
Okay. It's a calming color.
Okay, these are, I like where both of your heads are at. You're both wrong, but you're sniffing up the right tree.
Oh, okay.
The reason that doctors wear blue or green scrubs is because those are on the opposite side of the color wheel from red and pink, which makes those colors clearer during surgery.
No.
Because they're dealing with a lot of red and pink, right? A lot of blood and a lot of pink tissue inside of your body. And so if they were wearing red or pink as well, lessens the sharpness of their vision to figure out exactly what am I looking at inside the body. Whereas if you have opposite colors, then you really notice the accent color, in this case, that is human flesh and blood.
Weird.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
Okay, yeah.
I like it.
Disney World, if you believe in that, and Disneyland employees who dress up as characters and walk around the parks, they actually have to go through special training to learn how to do their character's correct autograph. Because you can't have people comparing autograph books and being like, oh, Goofy signed this in 1977.
How do they even sign anything with those giant hands?
It's got to just be like general
just
shapes.
Like giant cartoon hands.
Hey, what are you doing? I don't know.
I thought they just, you know, take pictures.
Oh, God, I saw this, the cutest little video of a dog, like a, it was a service dog, a golden retriever, and it had its little vest on, and Donald Duck was bending down, and the dog had its head on his lap,
oh my
and
gosh.
It was just cuddling with him. Oh, my God.
So sweet. I could top your video.
Oh.
Oh.
Or, was that a video?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a little video.
What do you got, Tina Topper?
I went down a hole this morning. I somehow ended up on a YouTube video that was a baby hippo playing with its zoo handler.
Oh!
And if you've never seen a baby hippo, let me tell you, they look like aliens. And they're so sweet. I will link this up for everybody.
Okay, good. Okay, then I don't have to.
I will.
It's its final stretch of the show. I have it there.
Oh, all right. I'm going to send you the Donald Duck video. I found it right now.
Okay, we'll link that up as well.
And now I have famous baby hippo plays with special care package from Children's Hospital.
Oh.
So now I'm going just all in.
All right. I do have the video and at the end of the show today, Steve.
Okay, great.
All
Oh, these things look
awful. Like Elf.
They look like they're made of leather.
I know.
They look like so overcooked beef.
Oh.
Or no, you know what they look like? The skin of a fully roasted pig.
Wow, why are you cooking him?
I'm not planning to cook him. I'm just saying that that's the sheen on their body and the color. Whew.
I like it.
I thought you might.
It looks like a dinosaur. All right. Oh, no, Dawn's going to send me.
I did. I put I put it in the link down at the bottom by your hippo.
Dueling cute videos. Yeah. I'll leave you with this.
All right.
Eyes Wide Shut, the movie, has the record for the most consecutive days of filming without a single day off. 400 days straight. At one point, Stanley Kubrick had Tom Cruise do, get this, 95 takes just walking through a door.
Yeah, I think that was the weirdest movie and stories surrounding it. We have to go.
All right, let's go.
All right. Well, hey, I did check out the new temporary host of Jeopardy yesterday.
Oh,
the great executive producer. I'll tell you what I thought about that. And Dawn saw a movie that she's going to tell us about, too, that I'm dying to hear all about. Coming up next. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. All right, I checked out that Mike Richards, is that his name?
Mike Richards.
The executive producer of Jeopardy, who also happens to be the guest host right now.
Yes.
You know, they've got like a whole bunch of celebrity guest hosts all lined up.
A whole slew of them.
Yeah. I thought Katie Couric was next. I didn't know that this Mike Richards guy was going to step in. So I watched a little bit of the show. He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is great.
He's pretty excellent. Yeah.
This is great. This is great. I have been pulling for Ken Jennings. But if I pulled for anyone over Ken Jennings, it would be Mike Richards, having not even seen it, just considering the Hubbard Broadcasting tie that we have to him would be really great.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I like that they're doing. They're talking about Alex.
Mm-hmm.
They're honoring his format of how he would do the show. I mean, almost to a T. The way so he started the show by saying something really nice about Alex and what a great husband and father he was. And then he just gets right into the game because it's only a half hour show and it goes by so fast.
Right.
And then just follows the exact format that Alex has always done. And that's exactly what Ken Jennings did too. So they're trying to keep the spirit of Alex Trebek alive, which I really think is so awesome.
Mm.
You know, that they just continually mention him and talk about him.
That's great. That's great that they're doing that.
Yeah. And just the way he asks the questions and the way he moves on, it's just all like he didn't miss a beat. Like he just kept that, you know, that rhythm going. That's so awesome. Check him out if you haven't seen him. Mike Richards is his name. Steve's best friend.
Kind of, sort of. That's what he would call me. But
yeah, I'm sure.
I'm really happy for him, though. That's cool. But again, like we said, Don, doesn't he have the say? Is it his choice, ultimately?
I mean, who's his boss, right? Isn't the executive producer the boss of the bosses?
Yeah, because you're not answering to any specific network. It's on all different stations all across the country.
I'm sure somebody else is making the decision, not him. You think? He has a boss.
Who is his boss? I mean, your executive producer has a boss, right?
Yeah. But it's just weird because this is a show that is sold to other stations. So
right.
It makes more sense when you're working at a specific network. But if it's just an NBC show, they get to choose.
But there has to be a production company behind it, right?
Yeah, I'm efforting.
It's a production company that then kind of sells it to stations around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They must have some type of general manager or somebody, like a Dan Seaman.
Yeah.
You think they have a Seaman?
Maybe it's him.
It could be Dan. Get Dan on.
That would be incredible. It's probably someone upstairs here.
Sure.
Wow. No, he's not still working for Hubbard, though.
And what's he doing for Wheel of Fortune, Mike Richards? So he's... How are you executive producing two shows at once? He did this with Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right, and now he's doing it with Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. That's the best game show LinkedIn resume of all time.
Why did I think Henry Winkler was tied into one of those game shows? I thought he was producing one of those. I don't know, Steve. But anyway, check him out tonight. Check him out. Dawn, you watched a movie that's been getting a lot of buzz.
Yes, I did. I watched Pieces of a Woman, which is Shia LaBeouf and Vanessa Kirby. This also has woman in the title, so you might get confused.
Right.
This is Promising Young Woman. Carey Mulligan is nominated for a Golden Globe for this. Also, the comedian Bo Burnham is in it, who is a brilliant comedian. If you've never seen his stand-up specials, be prepared to be absolutely blown away by this guy's creativity. He's like no other comedian. He also wrote Eighth Grade, if you remember that.
That was
movie.
A couple years ago, a year or two ago, right?
Yes, and it's just like, wow, incredible. So he is a real talent. He plays a boyfriend in this movie. Carey Mulligan's character, she is a woman who, well, she was a promising young woman. She was in med school, and she drops out for this certain reason that you find out in the movie. And she is trying to get revenge for something that happened to a friend. And so she does all of these things, and it's really the topic. I'm not going to get into the topic because if you want to watch the movie on your own,
you don't want
like
to give anything
explore
away.
That.
Okay.
But it is a topic that is common to a lot of women.
Okay.
Unfortunately. And because it is so common, it almost is desensitizing as far as the experience that people have. And I had a real push and pull and a tug within my heart whether or not her actions were justified.
Okay.
So it's like, is this worth doing this? Is what she is doing, does the punishment fit the crime? Which it should. But it's kind of a sad reality because of this topic that we're desensitized to it. So it is a heavy movie, I'll say that. Not quite as heavy as Pieces of a Woman that involves a miscarriage and what a couple goes through after that. But this is like really interesting. She's a great actress. I would say in a normal year, this might be overlooked because we don't have that many choices. There haven't been movies
right,
put out.
Right, that's true.
But I really think she is worthy of a nomination. I don't think she'll win. But it's definitely worth seeing. It's definitely dark. Donna, you'll love it. You really will.
Where do we find it?
You can rent it, or you could go to the movie theater and see it if you feel comfortable with that. Because, you know, these theaters are open now in Minnesota, and they're at 25% capacity.
Right.
So they only limit, I mean, when you look at, like, if you wanted to go and you look at, like, the map of the theater, if you want to choose your seats, it's like you're way far apart.
Okay.
There are only a handful of people in there, maybe 20.
I keep
20.
Meaning to do this. I want to get to a theater because it seems like how they have it set up and their capacity restrictions, safe. That's how it seems.
We actually went. We went to the theater and saw it. And I did feel very safe.
Okay.
I did. We went to, I believe, Marcus Theaters.
Yeah, you're closer to people at a grocery store.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people were so far away. Like, so far away. And they don't let that many people in, so.
Okay. This is the only time that I approve of the seating chart.
Yeah.
Because I hate having to pick my seats before
I get
to.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
That's the joy of it all.
Hate it. Hate.
Donna, the alternative is entering a dark room, looking around, and having to make kind of a snap decision, because you can't linger too long there. You need to start moving towards stairs. I don't like the snap decision of that and figuring out who's near me.
I don't need a homework assignment before I'm going out to enjoy myself somewhere.
Oh, I love it. I love free picking.
Yes. It's great. Even ahead of time.
I don't even like it when I go up to the counter and then they start showing you seats. I'm like, really?
Oh.
Now I'm going to be late.
No.
I want to get some food.
Donna, you're going to have to see this in the theater if you do, because you'll hate the rental price on Amazon Prime is
$19.99.
Yeah. So, you know.
I get it.
If you want to pick your seat, you know, there was a charge for that. So I think MC paid $12.50 a ticket.
Donna, $4.15 this afternoon, you could see it. Chanhassen Cinema.
Bye. Okay. It does look like a good movie.
Definitely is. It's definitely interesting. It'll make you really think.
That's what I like about movies. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. I like to, like,
I want you to see it. So you tell me how you feel about it.
But I'm not going to the theater.
Okay. It's no problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Now I'm looking at Fandango, trying to see what movies could we go and see?
Steve, there are no cartoons right now.
That's not true. Crude's a new age.
Oh, that's right, Crude's.
Humble brag, we own it.
Yeah.
And I love that I have HBO Max because, I mean, I really want to get to a theater, but the new Tom and Jerry movie is coming out on Friday.
Oh. What?
And I'm like, oh, we have HBO Max right now.
Wait,
so we can
I don't know anything about this Tom and Jerry movie.
Yeah, they're coming out with a new Tom and Jerry movie. And it's Tom and Jerry are animated, and then they're interacting with live-action folks. But the kids have seen the trailer, and they're pumped that it's coming out this weekend. So, and it might have some of your old-timey, you know, hit them with a hammer
kind of
humor.
That's what I was wondering, Pa, you were going to let your kids
watch that. Because I don't think that they'll pick up a hammer.
Okay.
But I do think that they'll start talking like Lucy on that bully. I mean, that girl needs canceled, for the record. If we're canceling... Lucy needs canceled because she is a bully.
The kids are kind of mean in Peanuts, but I think that's the point, was that this kid was bullied. You know?
Yeah.
Chuck. Chucky.
Steve, I am wondering if, I know you watched something yesterday, if you could tell us your thoughts about it when we come back.
Donna, I should tell you that I would be happy to.
Okay. The what you watched was part one of Alan versus Pharaoh, I think is what it's called, right? Yes. Or is it Pharaoh versus?
Oh, you watched it, Steve?
I watched episode one.
Oh boy.
Okay, I really, really want to know your thoughts because I've already made up my mind about things, and I want to know where you stand. And if you see something, say something when we come right back on My Talk. Hey, welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
If you see something, say something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Well.
All right, you did it.
I have Hubo Max, and so I watched Alan versus Pharaoh. So I don't know how long I'm going to have HBO Max. So I'm just trying to do the trendy things. I finished Flight Attendant. I'll tell you about that a little while later.
Okay.
And then I watched episode one. I have to tell you, going into this, I am largely unfamiliar only peripherally familiar with Woody Allen in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was quasi new information for me.
Okay.
I've heard rumors and rumblings, but I've never, ever done a deep dive on this topic before.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen Dylan Farrow, to my knowledge, ever in my life.
Okay.
They did a good job of setting it up where they show you the career of Woody Allen and his charm and all of that. So they really take a long time with that.
Yeah.
Probably about the first 30 minutes is just this setup of Mia Farrow, Woody Allen, how they became a couple and all of that kind of stuff. I'll give you a few takeaways that I had.
Okay.
First of all, Soon Yi is her name?
Yes.
What the hell?
Right?
What in the hell?
Were you not familiar with that part of the story?
Only peripherally.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, kind of yes, but if anybody pressed me on any follow-up questions or what do you know about, I would know nothing more than, and I was like, is this a rumor or not? So just so I'm making sure I saw this correctly last night, and I can play dummy for everybody.
Okay.
Woody Allen gets together with Mia Farrow. She has adopted children, one of them being Soon Yi. When Soon Yi turns 18, Woody Allen allegedly takes nude photos of her. And then in not long after, they got like formally together, correct?
Yes. And then, he married her.
Married her. They're married today.
Yes, they are.
So that is extremely not okay.
Thank you.
Articulation
it's
of
just
this all.
The creepiest, weirdest.
How long was he the stepdad? Since how
maybe,
old
maybe
was
like,
she?
I don't know.
8 years, maybe?
Was it that long? Oh. I thought maybe like 5 years or something. I'm thinking to when. Was Dylan, did they have Dylan? Was Dylan?
Dylan was adopted.
Was adopted.
Because he wanted a blonde girl baby.
Did they have any kids together?
They had one.
Was it Ronan?
It was Ronan.
Okay.
Who is allegedly the son of Frank Sinatra.
Anyway. We'll save that.
Yes, his name was Satchel when he was born. I think the name later changed to Ronan. So he is supposedly a biological child of Woody Allen.
Okay. Let me tell you something that sort of pissed me off earlier in the documentary. Much less severe of an accusation, but to any dudes out there, and I've had this with Kevin Hart before when he said something like this, but when I heard Woody Allen saying essentially, like, yes, it was in an interview, me and Mia are together and it's great and she's got all these kids, but I let her know I don't want any part, like, I'll go over, I'll talk with them and all that, but when it comes to, like, changing diapers or before anything, you know, hard happens, I'm out of there.
Yep.
You sound in that moment like such a self-obsessed, selfish jerk. And we need to like get over this. That made me want to shove him against the wall. Because anytime I hear about, and by the way, I am a father of four that is marred with all sorts of imperfections. My kids could tell you about them at the end of every week. They could do a report and they could file a report and say, he sucked here. I get it. I'm not coming across holier than thou. But we got to be able to call out stupidity when we hear it. And so anytime I hear a dad say, oh, but when it comes to changing diapers, it's a her job. I want to shove that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to shove them.
It seems to me that he never wanted children. He was like, that's great that you've got kids. I don't want kids. But he was...
Cool, but if you want her, she has kids. And so that comes with the package, you selfish jerk.
Yeah.
You need to be quit being... I hate this over-curating of what you want your frickin' life to look like. The beauty in relationship comes when you compromise and you come together. And then you feel like someone else is getting in your way of what you wanted your life to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you bail. You either bail entirely on it or you distance yourself from it. We are so self-obsessed. We are so deeply self-obsessed as a culture. And it is just, are you feeling actualized? We are so self-obsessed. Travel the world. Go other places where promoting your own interest above all is actually not king.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Steve.
By the way, the documentary wasn't all about that. I just got irritated when I saw any... It really irritated me when I saw that in an interview. And I thought, oh, get over yourself. Go change a diaper. And if you don't want anything to do with her kids, her family, then don't have anything to do with her.
Right.
And then, God help you, we fast forward it. And now you went from not wanting anything to do with the kids to wanting the kid.
Right.
Marrying the kid.
Right.
That's twisted.
Yes.
Call me old-fashioned.
No, you're not. Not when it comes to that.
Call
that
me old-fashioned. Don't marry your stepdaughter.
Yeah.
Gross that you grew when she was a child. And now it's just so indicative of the other accusations to me. Like, you were looking at her before then.
Well, and then, you know, you hear Dylan say... When she found out from her mom that, because Mia Farrow went through therapy and the therapist tried to help her break it to the kids that she found these naked pictures of their sister by their father. And Dylan was like, I thought I was the only one. And that's what we're left with, basically.
Yeah, right. That's how the first episode... ends.
And it's not really giving anything away because we all know what she claims. But, I mean, can you see, Steve, like the other issues with Dylan as they were, the stories being told, and you're seeing this old family, you know, footage of him with her, just obsessing with her when there's plenty of other children.
Yeah, yes. Now, two things there. The footage can be doctored, so I don't necessarily trust the footage.
True.
You know, they can just submit all the photos that make it look like...
But how about the storytelling?
He was only obsessed. But all of the storytelling goes back to... And you have family friends as well who are coming in and saying, you know, when he was around, it was just this laser-like attention on her. And, yeah, it's just not good. Help me, I'm new to this. Will we be hearing more details in subsequent episodes? Does the Dylan Woody story continue?
Okay. Yeah. Because
in the episode
details.
Okay, it slow burns into creepy, highly questionable.
Right.
Not overt abuse. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least how they set it up so far.
Well, there is a very, very specific incident in which he was left alone with her. And I think we'll be hearing that probably in the next episode. I think this is going to take us all the way to like court because I think there was a custody battle at one point. He was... I believe he was charged, but then found innocent of any wrongdoing. So, I just cannot even believe this story.
And there's a lot of people out there that are saying, why is everyone so shocked we've known about this?
I don't think anybody is shocked. I mean, it's just, you're getting a more comprehensive story than the little bits and pieces that we've read here and there. Because Mia Farrow hasn't spoken really about this in a very, very long time. So, all right. Well, thank you for watching that.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. I know it's not your jam.
All the dads out there, change some diapers, all right?
Yeah, please. Thank you. Bye, Dawn.
Goodbye. Bye, Dawn.
Good talk. See you tomorrow.
Bye,
when we come back, how about this? Axl Rose on Scooby-Doo. More on that up next.